with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We'll talk about the key of David. The key of David. Look down in verse 7, Revelation chapter 3. And to the angel, an angel here is the messenger. The messenger. And to the angel or the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Well, you see here, he said he has the key of David. We all know what a key's for. A key's to lock things, to keep them secure, to keep them safe. And also a key is to unlock things, to give access to them, to give freedom to them, liberty to get there. And somebody who has a key has something that's valuable to them. You don't just give your key to anybody, do you? Keys to your house, keys to your car, keys to your safe deposit box. And also, key has this meaning. You know, that's the key to that problem. We need to find out the key to understanding that. A key means so much more than just something that's physical. You know, in fact, our Lord Jesus, and let me show you this. You keep Revelation 3. Look over in Luke 11:52. In fact, our Lord Jesus accused some men of not using the keys. And you know, our Lord told Simon Peter, he said, I'll give unto you the keys. The keys. Keys of the kingdom. And that's, he meant, you know, that he would use the keys. And he preached on the day of Pentecost. And he opened the scriptures. And there the Jews were converted. And then he used the keys for the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. But here in Luke 11:52, is that what I said? Yes. Yeah. Woe unto you lawyers, now Lord speaking, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. The key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves and hindered them that were entering in. So they had a key. A key of knowledge. Knowledge of what? The knowledge of the scriptures. And they took that key away. They took that key from people. They didn't tell them the truth about Christ because they didn't know the truth about Christ. They couldn't give them the key to the understanding of the scriptures because they didn't understand them rightly for themselves. So the key was taken away. And so back over here in our text, God gave the keys of David to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who's speaking here again. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, he that has the keys to open. When he does, no man can shut. And when he uses that key to shut, to lock, nobody can open. And so he has the keys to the kingdom of God. He has the kingdom to the throne of God. He has the key to everything that goes on in this world. Everything that regards you and I, he has the keys to that. He has the keys to who sits on the throne, who don't. He has the keys to every man's heart. He has the keys to everything. But let's look at his character first. Look at this one who has the key of David. Look at his character. These things saith he that is holy. First thing about he that has the key of David, he's holy. The girls just sang it. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy in three persons. He's holy. He says he's holy. He's thrice holy. He's holy as the Father. He's holy as the Son. And he's the blessed Holy Spirit. That's what it means by thrice holy. God is holy. Infinitely holy. And we can't say he's perfectly holy because holiness is a state of being. And our Lord Jesus Christ was holy before he took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh. And he was holy all the time he inhabited the sinful flesh, the likeness of sinful flesh. And he was holy when he hung on the cross. And he was holy when he went in the tomb, and he was holy when he ascended back to glory. He is holy.
Amen.
And beloved, and why he's holy? Because he's God. And we must have someone that's holy to save us. Because we're unholy. We're unclean. We're unrighteous. So only one who is holy, who is God, can save us. That's why the apostle said, "For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens."
Yeah.
Oh, he is holy. In fact, I told you Wednesday night that no fault was found in him. First of all, by God. God found no fault in his blessed Son. The only reason in the world the Lord Jesus Christ died was because my sin and your sin was laid upon him. And the only way he could satisfy God was by being holy in his own person. Our Lord would have never died, would have never suffered, had he not come into this world to bear our sins, our sorrows, and our griefs. And when those were charged to his account, the very weight of them on his holiness, on the purity of his character, weighted him down so that he himself cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the answer comes back, because thou'rt holy, have pure eyes and to behold iniquity. So when he even saw it on his son, he had to die. But yet, God found no fault in him as a man. And beloved, no man found any fault in him. Pilate came out in 6 different times to that crazy, bloodthirsty, hating and God-hating, Christ-rejecting mob and said, I find no fault in this man. Find no fault in him. And the devil tried over and over and over. 40 days and 40 nights he had access to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Our Lord said, here comes the prince of the air, and he has no part in me. Oh, has no part in me. In fact, the devils called him, we know who thou art.
Yeah.
You're the Holy One.
Yes, sir.
Sent from God. Not only is he holy, but watch what else it says. He that is true. He that is true. Now, you and I know some true things. We know some truth, but we ain't true.
No.
We ain't true. There's only one who is true. Yeah, I mean, you know a lot of true things. And we know a lot of truth. And we want to do what's right. But we're far from being true. Far from being true. But he is the faithful and the true witness is what he's called. And beloved, he was true. And oh, we need someone who's going to be true to his Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ was true to his Father. True to his character. True to his Word. True to his will, true to his purpose. And our Lord Jesus Christ was truly, when he was here on this earth, he expressed, he had manifested the very fullness of the character and the mind of God. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. And everything that God is, all that God is, was told out and expressed through our Lord Jesus Christ while he is here on this earth. That's why our Lord said, I need no man to testify of me. The Father that has sent me, he is true. And he bears witness of me. And oh, our Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm the truth. When he said to Pilate, he said, he that is of the truth, he said, heareth me. And he said, what is the truth? He said, I came to bear witness to the truth. What is the truth? Well, I tell you what, it's true, this is true, that without Christ, you and I have no hope.
Amen.
This is true, that all men have sinned and missed the glory of God by 40,000 country miles. I know this is true, that God is holy. I know this is true, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. I know this is true, that he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. I know this is true, that if a man don't believe and come and bow and submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll die without hope in this world. I know that's true. Who told me that? The Lord Jesus Christ did. It's what he said. He said, except you believe I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I don't even want my sin. I sat this morning on the porch and I began to think of things I've done. And how did these things come into your mind? God only, I don't know. But I remember something I'd done when I was just a very young man. And oh, shame just flooded me. Oh, God, so wicked, so ashamed. I didn't even bear one sin, much less all of them.
That's right.
So ashamed of them. Where did I get that truth at? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is true, gave me knowing. Oh, He's a true witness. Huh? And oh, beloved, the Scriptures tells us He's the true light. There's no other light that's come into this world. And He lighteth every man that cometh into this world. He said He is that true bread that the Father sent down from heaven. All other bread, the fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. It came down from heaven too. But they all died. Our Lord Jesus said, you eat this bread and you'll never die. Not only that, but you'll never hunger again. You'll never want anything else again but this one bread. And He said He is the true vine. You know, in Isaiah, He said that God planted a vine. And our Lord Jesus said, I'm that true vine. And He said, all you are is the branches. But He's the vine. And it's only as we're united to the vine that we have life. Look over here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. Two books back to your left. Jude, 3 John, 2 John, then 1 John. Just go back to your left from Revelation just a little. Two or three pages if you got a Bible like mine. Look here in 1 John 5:20. I love these things where it says, and we know. I love these verses. It says, and we know. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. Now watch this, that we may know Him that is true. Know Him that is true. Oh my! It's not enough to know the truth. You've got to know Him who is true. Huh? You see the difference? Even, and we are in Him that is true. That's what I just said. He's the true vine. We're the branches. We live by being joined to Him. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, who is this Jesus Christ? This is the true God and eternal life. Oh, my. True. We know Him. We may not be true, but we know Him who is true. And oh, look back over down our text again. Not only is He holy, not only is He true, but He's the one who has the only one who has any authority. He has the key of David. He has the key of David. Now, beloved, the one who has the key, you got to go to Him. If you want in, if you want out, if you want access, huh? Somebody meet up there and open that door so they can get in. I don't know how many times I've asked folks to do that. Will you be there such and such time, let so and so in, even here? And oh, my. He has the authority. He has the key of David. And oh, let me show you. Now, you keep this. Let me show you something over here in Isaiah 22. Look over in Isaiah. Keep Revelations in your left hand. Look in Isaiah 22. Look what God says about our Lord Jesus here. Now, He has the one who has authority with regard to the kingdom of God. Our Lord Jesus says, you know, that except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. And so, you know, if you're going to be in the kingdom of God's not here in this building. The kingdom of God's not something that's going to come sometime. Our Lord Jesus says the kingdom don't come with observation, looking here or looking yonder. The kingdom of God's within you. And that's where the kingdom of God takes its position. And that's why He says, pray ye that the kingdom come. And that your will be done. That's what I'm doing today, and that's what we pray for. And that's why I pray for my children the way I do. I want the kingdom of God to come where they are. And come, and God, the one who has the key of David here, to come and open up and bust down that door and come and set up the kingdom of God in their hearts. Set up the kingdom of God in their mind. Set up the kingdom of God in their will. Set up the kingdom of God in their understanding. Set up the kingdom of God in their very soul. And if he don't do that, they'll never know anything about the kingdom of God. They just knock all they want to. Hey, but one person who's got the keys to the kingdom, and if you go get in, he's got to open the door for you.
Amen.
And oh my, look here in Isaiah 22 and verse 22. And the key of the house of David, and you know David was the king. Oh my, if you're going to have anything to do with David, he got to will that. He got to do that for you. And the key of the house of David, you notice you don't say keys, just one single key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. Now I tell you what, and it says over in Isaiah 9 that he'd lay the government on his shoulder. I tell you something, my Lord Jesus don't need two shoulders to do anything. God just laid on one shoulder. You know, that's how Almighty he is. I got to preach to those prisoners down in the prison last a couple weeks ago, and that's what I told them. I said, you know, and I went to Isaiah and showed them. I said, see, it said the government's on shoulder. I said, you know, me and you have to carry something on our shoulders. The Lord Jesus Christ just has to have a shoulder. God put it on his shoulder. He's got the power. He's got the will. He's got the might. And oh my, look what else it says now. I lay upon his shoulder the key of this David, the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut. And he shall shut and none shall open. Now watch this. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place.
Yeah.
And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they'll hang upon him all the glory of his father's house. The offspring and the issue and all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to the vessels of flagon. Oh, he's got the key of the house of David. He has authority with regard to the kingdom. And I tell you something else he has authority to. He has authority, the keys of David, to our present salvation. You know how long we'll be saved? As long as he has the key. Yeah. My present salvation depends on this man right here. One with the key. The one with the authority. And all your present salvation depends on that. I know preachers are telling folks all the time that the Lord wants to do something for you if you'll just let him. And you got the key, and the key is it, and I've heard preachers say this, you got the key. You got the key. And the key is your will. And if you make the right choice, you can be saved forever. That's not what this says.
No.
It doesn't. I heard a preacher say, preaching on that on the radio here in town one time. I don't know where that character's at now. I hope he ain't preaching whatever he's doing. But he says the salvation's like this. You're in prison. And God comes and stands outside that prison door, and he gives you the opportunity to choose whether you want to get out of that prison or not. And the key is in your will if you make the right choice. Now, there ain't nobody ever been in prison that had a key that didn't use the door to get out. Huh? Ain't that right? Well, if I was in jail and I had a key to get out, you don't think I wouldn't use it to walk out of that place? People that ain't got a key are trying their best to get out. But here he got the keys to your present salvation. You know who? You know you're in his hands. You're in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you something, I'd rather be in his hands than in mine.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather you be in his hands than in the hands of the church. In the preacher's hands. In the hands of your free will. Because you know what your free will will do for you? Just cause you to sin. You got to have a new will. Where are you going to get that will at? In the day of his power, his people are made willing. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee.
Yeah.
Huh? And not only does he have the keys to our present salvation, but he has the keys to our future salvation. Oh, tomorrow, you know how long? I'll be saved tomorrow. You know why? Because he's got the key. He's got the key to my life. He's got authority over my life. He's got the power over my life. He got the power, and I'm thankful he does.
Amen.
Ain't you, Dirk? Ain't you grateful that he does? They're in the courts and the Congress getting involved over this poor old woman down in Florida. They're getting, President Bush getting ready to sign into law, a new law and everything over this poor woman down there. And they're getting involved and this woman's future and all that. I don't want to be in the government to have control over my future. They don't need to sign a law to have control over my future. Christ got control over my future. Christ owns tomorrow for me. Every day's his day. And I'm his. I'm his treasure. He bought me and paid for me. And he can do what he wants to with me. And oh, I'll tell you something. And will he do right by me? Will he always treat me right? Will he always be faithful? Will he always be true? Will he always love me? Will he always care for me? And what will he come to do with me when it comes time to die? What do you reckon he'll do with me? Ah. He'll rock me in his sweet arms and take me to glory. Huh? Oh, I'm thankful. My future salvation. He got the keys to it. He got the keys to the whole of it. Look in Revelation 1:18. Oh, thank God he does. Thank God he does. When I run my own outfit, you know what I've done? I run it into the ground. Run it into sin. Run it into destruction. Oh, but bless his name. It's in his name. Look what he says in Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead. Oh, he was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Now watch this. And have the keys of hell and of death. Uh-huh. Oh, ain't neither one of them going to bother me. Because he got the key of life. Now look back over here in our text. Let me show you some other things. So we've seen his character. He's holy. He's true. And he has all authority. He's got the key of David, the house of David. He's the king. Now watch what the work that he does. He that openeth and no man shuts. Now when he opens, absolutely nobody can shut. And when he shuts, absolutely nobody can open. And that's his work. That's what he does. That's what he does with these keys. He opens and he shuts. And I tell you, the first thing he does, he opens the door of salvation. In fact, he is the door of the sheep. He said he's the door of the sheep. And look, you know, in Hebrews 10:20, I'll read it to you. You don't have to look. It just won't take me but a minute to get to it, a second here. But Hebrews 10:20 says here, that he by a new and living way has opened for us behind the veil. That is to say, his flesh. He's opened the door. He's the door of salvation. He's the door of the sheep. And it's by him going in and out that we find pasture. It's by him that we have life. And there is no salvation except through him, by him. And a door is where you go in, go out. And beloved, he opens that door of salvation. I can't open the door of salvation. You know, the Pope thinks that he can open the door of salvation. The preachers think that they can open the door. But oh no, he's got the keys to the door. He's the door. And then I'll tell you something else. Look at Acts 16:14 with me just a moment. And I love this right here. I don't know what people do with this verse of Scripture whenever they come to it. But not only has he opened the door, he made for us, he opened for us a new and a living way.
Yeah.
That is to behind the veil, that is through the veil of his own flesh. By his own flesh, he opened the way into the very presence of God. But look here in Acts 16:14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Now watch this. Whose heart the Lord open. Oh, who opened it? Open your heart and let Jesus in. There ain't a place in the Bible even close to that. Don't even resemble that. That's as foreign to the Scriptures as daylight is from God, whose heart the Lord opened. Oh, my. Do you remember when the Lord began to open your heart? You know, when you started feeling a little, sensing a little, seeing a little, understanding a little. And that's what the next thing it says here. It says here, watch this now. That she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. How can you know if your heart's been open? Do you attend the gospel? Do you pay attention to what's being said? Do you listen to the word as it's preached? Do you lay the word to heart as it's preached? That's what she done. Paul began to preach. The Lord opened her heart and she just zeroed right in on him. Oh my, what's it? What's he going to say next? What else he going to say about Christ? What else he going to say? Oh my, make him real, make him vital, make him alive to me. And oh beloved, it's he who enlightens the understanding. And when it talks about the heart in the Scriptures, the heart being open, the heart's given for the whole person. You know, when you say, I love them with all my heart, that means you love them with all your being. And that's why the Scripture says that we, from the heart, believe. We believe with our being. We believe with all that makes us us. And that's why it says she attended unto the things which were spoken. Thus, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And oh, beloved, may God open your heart. May God take that heart and open it up. And when he opens it up, light comes in and life comes in. And it can be touched and it can be moved. And oh my, so he opens the heart. Let me show you something else he opens in Luke 24:32. I want you to see these verses. It's so much better for you to see them than for me to quote them. Not only does he open the door, you know, there's only one mediator between God and men. That's the man, Christ Jesus. And he opens the heart. And that's what's so encouraging about preaching the gospel. That's what's so such a blessed thing about preaching the gospel. I'm under no pressure to get any confessions. I'm under no pressure to get folks on an altar. I'm under no pressure to get people saved. I'm not under no pressure to do that. I'm not under no pressure to evangelize, Garrett. I am under pressure to preach the truth, to preach the gospel. I feel the weight of that. I feel the great. And I'm under pressure as a shepherd to feed the sheep. I feel the weight of that. But I do not feel any pressure to get somebody to confess. I can't open your heart, but God can. I can't open your understanding, but the Lord can. I can't give you eyes to see, but God can. And that's why the pressure's off. The pressure's off. That preacher down there, that chaplain, they've got a new one. He wanted so much to get those fellas involved and get some confessions out of them, you know, give them an opportunity to say something down there. And I told him, I said, do you know how many years it's been since I had an invitation? You know, he'd been on and on about it, and I got up the next night and said, I ain't given an invitation in years. No need to give an invitation. What in the world? What's it going to do you any good to come up here? What good's it going to do for you to come up here and get on your knees? What good's it going to do for me to invite you to come to the front? Christ is not down here. Christ's not in my hand. Christ sits at the right hand of God, and if you get there, as old Scott Richardson, I've heard him say it 100 times, you can get to him without moving a muscle. You can come to Christ without moving a muscle. You can come to Christ without moving your lips. That's exactly how we're... That's what he's talking about. He opens the heart. It's the heart that we go to him with. It's the soul that we go to him with. And the more we understand about him, the more our heart opens to him and the more it goes to him. Is that not right?
Amen.
And then look what else he does. Not only does he open the heart, but look here in verse 32. Of Luke 24. Now he's been on the Emmaus Road with these two disciples. And it says, and they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? Now watch this. While he opened to us the scriptures? Here, these fellows have been Bible students all their life. Been to all the synagogues. Been with the Lord Jesus Christ. They began to tell the Lord Jesus all that took place in Jerusalem 3 days prior to that. About Jesus of Nazareth and how they supposed him to be the Messiah. And went through all that. But they didn't know a thing. You know, the Bible is a sealed book until the Lord opens your understanding. And he opened, didn't our heart burn within us while he opened unto us the scripture? And oh, he's got the key. He can take this book and just unlock it like that. Oh, you look at something, and how many years did we look at something? And we saw it just the opposite to where it really was. You know, we look in it and we see grace. How can other people look in it and see works? We look in it and we see Christ. Other people look in it and they see history. We look in it and we see the gospel. Other people look in it and they see law. What makes the difference? Christ unlocking them scripture. That's why he says, you've taken away the key. What's the key of knowledge to the scripture? Christ. It opens up with Christ and it ends with Christ. Holy law. God, give me eyes that I can see. And that means, please give me an understanding. And all that man who desires understanding, he desires and wisdom from the scriptures, he desires, that's more to be desired than gold and precious jewels. I'd rather know something about God's blessed book than to have a pocket full of money. Wouldn't you? And in fact, how can uneducated people understand the scriptures? And how can people with PhDs not? Because it ain't up to the intellect. This is the Lord that opens the understanding. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That gives me some hope. I don't have to go out here and get me a good education before I can understand anything. No. It's up to him. Ain't it, Alan? It's up to him. And then, oh, beloved, he opens the door of fruitfulness. He opens the door of fruitfulness. Now, when he opens the Word, nobody shut it. Once he opens it to your understanding, ain't nobody shut that door. In fact, once it gets open, the only thing it's shut to for men on is error. When he opens the heart, who's going to shut it? When he opens the door of salvation and brings you in, who's going to shut it? And he opens the door of fruitfulness or usefulness. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:9, he says, the Lord hath opened for me an effectual door. He didn't say, I opened the door. Or some people at this other place opened the door. Or some preacher that I knew went before me and opened the door for me. He said, the Lord opened for me an effectual door to preach the gospel. Somebody told me the other day, he'd gone somewhere and he said, you want me to call and make some arrangements for you to preach at these places, that place? He said, no, don't want you to do that. Don't want you to do that. No, we don't need somebody to go before us and say, well, I just... No. He opens the doors. He opens the door. He opened the door for Moses. Moses was a shepherd on the backside of the desert.
That's right.
Who in the world ever thought he's going to go down to Egypt and set a bunch of people free? He spoke with a stutter. He was a stutter. He said, I can't speak. He said, well, that don't make no difference to me. I'll let your brother be your mouthpiece. But you're going to go. And he said, listen, he opened the door for Moses. Moses didn't want to take that upon himself.
That's right.
He tried it one time and he failed when he tried in the energy of himself. And he had to go and run to keep from getting killed by Pharaoh. And he stayed on the backside of the desert 40 years and God come to him out there in that desert and said, you're going down to Egypt. Oh, I am, Emma. Yes, you are. And away he went. Oh, my. What about David? Maybe he wasn't even important enough to be invited to the sacrifice when Samuel the prophet came down. Jesse had 8 sons. He had all 7 of them there because God was going to anoint a king. And that David wasn't even important enough. And he was just a stripling of a boy out tending the sheep and wasn't even important enough for his father and brothers to ask him to come to the sacrifice. But God said, Samuel said, ain't nothing else happening until you bring that boy up here. We're not going to eat. We're not going to sit. We're not even going to sit back down until that boy gets here. Who opened that door for David? David didn't know what was going on. But the Lord opened that door. And God opened the door for Saul of Tarsus. And I tell you, beloved, may God give us wisdom to know when a door is open and never try to open one for ourselves. And give us sense enough to know when it's open to say the right thing and know when to shut up when it's closed. Now that takes, we don't know when to do that. We know how to kick it in gear, but how to get it back out again, that's a whole other story. Huh? Oh, give us wisdom that when a door is open, to say and do the right thing and then let it go. Huh? And oh, I'll tell you something else. Look in Acts chapter 7. Oh, here's something else he opens. Something else he opens. Acts chapter 7. You're going to love, you'll enjoy this. I enjoy it. Who's going to shut these doors when he opens them? That's why, you know, I was talking to a man that's going to come down and visit us here soon. I said, I'm a firm believer in letting the shepherd take care of the sheep. I said, I only deal with things when I absolutely have to. And that's why, you know, if the Lord opens your heart, opens your understanding to the Scriptures, and you become one of His, He does a much. I'll feed you by God's grace. I'll try to my best to put food on the table when you come. Help you when you're down. Pray for you. But to get involved in your personal life and tell you where you can go and where you can't and what you can do and what you can't, I'm not going to do that. What kind of dog you can have and what kind of hair do you can have. And I'm just not, God willing, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Because the shepherd will do a much better job for you than I could ever possibly do. If you wear something you're not supposed to wear, he'll let you know. If you go someplace you ain't supposed to be, he'll let you know. Huh? Won't he? The natural man, it's the natural man that wants laws. The only person who don't want no laws, no restraints on him, is a fellow that's been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't want to go back under that yoke. And that's why he's always praying, Lord, your will be done. You teach me, you instruct me, you guide me, you lead me. You meet my needs. You do for my children, you do for my home, you do for my husband, you do for my marriage. Don't let me go no place I'm not supposed to be. Darn and Chris thinking about moving down here. But they pray, I know, Lord, if it's your will for us to go, you make the way. But if it's not, you shut the door. And that's the way we got to be. Ain't that right? But look, and that's so the shepherd will take care of the sheep. But look here in Acts chapter 7 and verse 56. Now this is Stephen here now. He's fixed to be martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's got this whole bunch of people gathered around him. And he's preaching. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And behold, I see what? The heavens opened. Who opened them heavens? And he said, not only did I see the heavens open, but look who I saw when I saw the heavens open. The Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Oh my, when the heavens are opened, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. God said in Malachi, he said, prove me and try me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't be able to contain. And look down in Revelations 4:1. And after this I looked, and behold, now watch this now, a door was opened. Where was it opened at? In heaven. So the Lord opens the doors of heaven. People say, boy, I've got to live right so I can get to heaven. I'm trying my best to get to heaven. I want to have enough works. I want to be good enough and all that. No. Christ done opened heaven. He's opened the door of heaven for all whom he died. I mean, we'll have the door open. St. Peter ain't going to meet you.
No.
St. Peter's not going to meet you at the gates and let you in. See, no, no, that's not going to happen. No, look what he said. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and I heard a voice like a trumpet. Come up here now, and I'm going to show you some things. And beloved, that's what's going to happen to us one of these days. Come up here. And it tells us, the scriptures tells us, that we're seated in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then not only does he open, but it also says, when he opens, no man can shut. When he opens these things, nobody can shut them. Absolutely nobody. That's why the shepherd is responsible. There ain't nobody. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and no man can take them out of my hand. And then when he shuts, nobody can open. Nobody can open. And let me tell you some things he shut real quick. He shut the flood of God's wrath. He turned it off. Shut it up. Shut up the judgment of God. Turned it off. Shut it up where it's not against him. Now I'm going to show you that. Look in Genesis 7:16. This is such a blessing. Genesis 7:16. You know, he shut the flood of God's wrath, God's judgment. And once it's shut, men can threaten you and warn you, and your sins can come back and torment you. People can throw your past up in your face. They can hold things against you. But, beloved, God's wrath has been shut off from you. It'll never bother you. Never bother you. And this is what happened. Look in Genesis 7:16. About the ark. God's judgment's going to fall. It's going to start raining. It's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and everything on the earth is going to be destroyed. And in verse 15 it says, they went in under the ark, under Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, with the breath of life, and they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And watch this. And the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. Who's going to open that door? Who's going to open that door? That flood never opened that door. When God's wrath began to fall, and that judgment began to fall, and them waves rocked that boat around, that door was safe and secure. Noah not got one drop of rain on him. Not the first. That would have been the wrath of God. One drop. But the ark bore it all.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ bore all the wrath of God for us.
Amen.
And it shut up. And not one drop, not one iota of it shall ever fall on us. We've been shut in. Shut in. We're hid with God in Christ. And all beloved. And then he shuts the door of salvation. And this is scary. This is scary. He shuts the door of salvation. He says, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. And in Matthew 25, it talks about the 10 virgins. 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. And the 5 wise, they heard the trumpet sound, and they got up, trimmed their lamps, says, ready to go. The 5 foolish, they wasn't. And while the bridegroom tarried and waited, they went off and started trying to buy. They didn't know nothing about grace. They heard that Christ was coming, so they went and joined the church, and they started working with, started trying to buy, trying to work, trying to get. And the scripture says that the bridegroom come and the 5 wise entered in. And he shut to the door. Matthew 25, he shut to the door. And then those 5 foolish come and began to knock. Began to knock. Open unto us, open unto us. He said, I can. I know not which you are. I don't know who you are. You got no right in here. Oh, God help, but that never happens to you. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. And our Lord says, and when the door is shut, many will knock and say, open unto us, open unto us. Have we not, have we not, have we not? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. But they'll try it. Open this! Open this! What's the matter with you? Are you mistaken? You shut the door too fast. You ever been someplace when the door was shut and they wouldn't let you in? I've been places where the door was shut. You try to get on an airplane after they shut the door. You ain't going to get on it. Up at 13th Street Baptist Church for years and years and years, after the service started, they had ushers at the back, and you didn't get in. If you was late, you just was late. You sit down in the foyer, you went to the nursery, you went somewhere, you went back to the house. You wasn't going to get in there. The gospel was too important for folks to come in after the preacher started, after things started. And they just shut the door. Now, I mean, that's why David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He said, I'd rather keep people from coming into the house of God and keep people out as to sit in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather keep the door. And oh my, if you get someplace where they shut the door and they won't let you in. You said it was going to do. Go to the bank sometimes when they're locking the door. Oh, I've got to make this deposit. Can't do it. Go to the doctor's office and they're shutting the door. Oh, I've got to see the doctor. Go to the emergency room. You're not getting in here. Oh, and they shut the door. That's what's going to happen one of these days. To some of you, door's going to be shut. And when it's shut, nobody, absolutely nobody can open it. And then he shuts the gates of hell. He shuts the gates of hell. He's one who has the keys. You remember when Lazarus, the rich man, ended up in hell and being in torments. Lazarus went to glory. And Lazarus dies. The rich man begins to say, oh, Abraham, please send somebody with just a drop of water to cool my parched tongue. Didn't ask to be released. He just wanted just some relief from his torment. He didn't ask to be out. Didn't repent of his sin. Didn't say how sorry he was. Wished he'd have used his money wisely. Done better for other people. Didn't think about that at all. I mean, a man's nature's got to change. And it won't change in heaven or hell, either one. If you got a heavenly nature, it ain't going to change when you get to glory. And if you got a hellish nature, a lost nature, it ain't going to change when you get to heaven. But Abraham says there's a great gulf fixed. Great gulf fixed. Then from there, can't come. Can't come out. Come over here. People here can't go there. You can't let nobody come out of there and warn anybody. And there ain't nobody from here can go down there and give you a drop of water. You'll be there all by yourself. And when that door's shut, who's going to open that one? Oh, Lord, open our hearts. Open our hearts. Open your heart to us, O Lord, and open our hearts to you. Because if you do, nobody can shut them. Nobody can shut them. Our blessed, blessed Savior, gracious, eternal God in heaven, thank you for this wonderful privilege of meeting with the people of God. Preaching your word, setting forth our blessed, blessed Savior. May be he alive and real and vital, life-giving to us today. Father, glorify yourself in the salvation of sinners in this place. Bless and prosper the work as it seems good in your sight. And Father, help us always to submit ourselves to your will. To honor your holy name, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.